Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So the first head of the administration hath rolled. Some are saying that this is the dirty deeds of Mike Pence. Again, I go back to, you lie, this is what you get. He should have just come out and told the truth. But, you know, this kind of vague, oh, I didn't, maybe it came up, maybe it didn't. I may have misinformed the vice president. Come on. Once you get to that level, you got to know what's going on. Anyway, let's find out what David Yankovich thinks of this latest or the first real head to roll. David, thanks for taking time for us.
No problem. Thanks, Rick.
So what do you think? I got to be honest. I didn't think Flynn would be the first to roll. I thought Rents Priebus would be the first because he's kind of squishy and would tick off Trump first. But interesting that Flynn goes first.
Yeah, I think this is all due to everybody's outrage and the media finally doing what they're supposed to do. I thought it would have been Priebus too.
So do you think WikiLeaks was right, that this was a destabilization campaign by the Democrats and the media to take Trump down and to take Flynn out?
Well, I don't think I really don't believe that it was that coordinated. I think that when the news came out that, Flynn knew about it and everything else, I think everybody kind of started putting the puzzle pieces together. Everybody wants to take the Trump campaign down. There's no denying that, but right. I think this is the first one that people actually could be outraged about and say, what the heck's going on here,
So what's interesting to me, David, is yesterday you had a lot of Republicans saying, well, the Russians had nothing to do with it. The administration didn't have anything to do with Russia. That's just all chatter. Now you've actually got this happening where you got to go, they've got ties with Russia. And to me, this now should trigger a slew of investigations, because there are some who are saying that this is, this is basically the Watergate moment of this administration.
Yeah, the game changed last night. Before, they had never admitted to anything. There had never been any kind of anything to stuck. Like, Teflon Don is what everybody's been calling Trump here. Now we have a senior administration official who has resigned due to a Russia allegation. The game has changed. Now there's blood in the water.
Right. So let me ask you the other question to this then. Because since Pence was key to all of this, is this a coup attempt by Pence to get Trump out? Because we all know eventually Trump's going to be impeached for something, and Pence is going to be the guy. Is this a power play?
I don't know. I really don't. I would say that when you get to a certain level, you can't play the same games anymore that they have been.
Right.
Like, the truth is going to come out. Pence obviously knew what was going on, too. So, he's going down the same way that Trump is. Trump is eventually going to get impeached, but Mike Pence was just as much a part of what was going on as Trump would be, maybe more so because, Trump is probably trying to stay out of it. But
yeah, but doesn't this give Pence the opportunity to go, I'm the straight arrow, I'm the one who said, we're gonna hold them accountable? And doesn't this give that kind of a messaging? Because I got this weird vibe from Pence and from this whole mess that's going on in front of us.
I don't. I don't think that Pence has that ability.
Okay, he's not that smart. I get it.
The thing is, they're playing on this high level. And what's going on right now, you're juggling a lot, and everybody's calling out every single thing that happens. There's been issues where, Mike Pence, spoke with Flynn, 2 months ago about Russia.
Right.
So we know what's going on now. Like, they can't keep it all straight. Everything's happening too much. So, I don't think that Pence is smart enough or good enough to, be like a behind-the-scenes mastermind here.
Right. So is it your opinion then that, because I'm of the mindset that there's something here. There's there. And it's my view that the Russians play this game much better than Trump and Pence and Flynn and the rest of the Klan. Are we being played like a fiddle? Is this a major intelligence crisis that we're facing? I guess if crisis is too strong, but is this that moment?
No, that's not too strong. No. I've been telling everybody, we're at war already. Intelligence and superpowers and in the way that wars are conducted and going down in the future isn't always going to be a super war when you have two nuclear powers. what Russia's doing is actually brilliant. They're fighting a war that's completely underground. Most of the time, people don't even know that they're getting hit.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we've been, you know, with the cyber warfare, and cyber warfare is a warfare. So, I mean, what they're doing is they're taking their philosophies and the way that they want people to operate, and they're changing them without most countries even knowing what's happening with the propaganda, the trolls, changing the elections and doing everything. I mean, and then you have guys like Donald Trump who, you know, is an opportunist. Probably what happened is somewhere down the line, him and Putin made some kind of deal. I mean, I don't know. I'm just speculating, but I mean, it's pretty clear what's going on, that there's something to happen where a deal was made somewhere.
I mean, you look at the timeline; it just seems either really, really coincidental or really cozy.
Yeah, and the world isn't full of coincidences like that. Maybe one or two, but when you have 37, 40 different things happening where it's all pocketing to Russia, you know, there's something there.
See, I got to tell you, I really don't think Trump is at that level that he would have those conversations with someone like Putin. I just don't think so. I think his handlers, I think people like Manafort, I think the people that he surrounded himself with, people like Flynn, I think they did. And I think it's all going to come down at some point. It's just a matter of when.
Well, I mean, there was, almost a year ago now, an article came out about Manafort and, you know, the Ukrainian president and the bank account that was transferred with the money. So that, I think that's going to come somewhere back into play.
Yeah. Well, I was at the conventions. I mean, when I was at both the Republican and the Democratic conventions, that was the I can't talk about it on mic, but that was the conversations everyone was having, especially at the Republican convention. It was like everyone was in on it, but nobody was willing to come and talk about it.
Well, and that's what everybody's pulling their hair about in the Democratic Party. It's like, how is this happening? How are you letting this happen? And not doing anything. I mean, we have an entire party of Republicans that aren't investigating. I mean, but our emails, you know.
But again, I go back to Mar-a-Lago. Right. But I go back to what I said at the beginning of the program here. You know, am I dumb enough to believe that the Russians only hack the Democrats? That the Republicans were, you know, clean as a driven snow, or smarter or better at keeping their emails, or just, you know, it just wasn't their day. Am I led to believe that, or is there something there that it just isn't being used yet?
Well, the FBI has already came out and said that the FBI and the CIA, that the Russians also hacked the Republican Party. They just didn't release it. I mean, that's already there. So we know that the Republicans got hit. We don't know what they have or if they're all being blackmailed, but we know that, you know, that they were hacked. It's just, I mean, too much of a coincidence. I mean, they're not investigating anything. And we're seeing, you know, like this weekend at Mar-a-Lago, you know, the guy who carries the nuclear football is posing for pictures.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Like,
I mean, it's insane. I mean, this is something that, I mean, anybody who has $200,000 can show up to this event.
And get a picture with the football. You know,
then they're holding national security meetings in front of everybody. Yeah. And like people are talking about how impressed they are. But like when President Obama or, you know, Hillary Clinton has a skiff built into her house, you know, Obama used to have a mobile tent skiff where he would actually walk into a tent and, you know, basically couldn't bring your cell phones in. It was a secure zone.
Right.
Donald Trump's doing this at dinner tables in the middle of, you know.
He got his wedge salad and, you know, in between the courses. Yeah, and even then, you know, it's bizarre. But I said, you know, one of my thoughts was maybe this is the new reality TV show. Where's the football?
Oh, man.
And maybe that's it. It's kind of like a Where's Waldo, only more deadly.
It's scary. It's really getting frightening. And, again, where are the Republicans? Where are the investigations? I mean, you know, you had Hillary Clinton and her email thing, and then you have this stuff happening, and they're not even blinking about it. They're not even pretending anymore that the corruption isn't there. They're basically completely out, like, yep, we're corrupt. We don't care.
But again, I keep coming back to my view of, you know, they're going to put up with all of this stuff until they get their ideological agenda pushed through, and then the Republicans, I do believe, will impeach.
But why? They could impeach anyway, and they still have the House, they still have the Senate. They still have the presidency. Why wait? That's my question. I mean, if you have a president who is this corrupt, this bad, you'd think that they'd want to get him off of there because he's a plague on their house. And then put, you know, Pence in, who to a lot of people is seen as bad, but he's not crazy.
Oh, I disagree. I'm of the mindset that he would move us towards a Christian version of Iran. And
No, I'm not saying that he's not, like, I'm talking about he's not this, like, where he can't, he's not unhinged.
Right. I'm okay with unhinged, because I'll be honest, the hinged guy, he's, to me, much, much worse, much more deadly.
Well, I definitely think that it's not a great situation.
No, it's absolutely not.
But I think with Trump, what we have right now is every day we wake up is a blessing because war didn't start overnight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one thing we're not hearing is we're not hearing about what's going on in Ukraine right now because we're focused on Michael Flynn. And I go back to our intelligence because, you know, I've been reading story after story, and you, as you know, with an intelligence background, having the kind of chatter that's going on, that there's this rift between the administration and the intelligence community, that's not really a good message to be sending to everybody all around the world, especially the people who don't really like us very much.
Well, that's why you're starting to see the world start to rattle a little bit. You know, dad's gone. You know, we got a substitute right now. You know, Obama kept everything kind of on the level. As soon as Trump gets in, you know, you have Russia and Ukraine, you have North Korea firing missiles, you have Iran testing missiles. You know, everybody's testing their president to see how far they can go. And honestly, he hasn't done nothing yet to show the world that he is stable enough to handle a situation. So, I mean, we're going to see more. My fear is the last time we had intelligence breakdowns, which is not what we're having right now, but the last time it happened was 9/11.
Yep.
And when last, you know, we had a president who didn't listen to the warnings that were happening. You know, a month before September 11th happened, an intelligence brief came through where it said, you know, Bin Laden is planning to fly airplanes into skyscrapers.
Yep. The August 6th presidential daily briefing, yeah, that no one bothered to read, even though it was only 2 pages long.
Yeah, and they're saying right now, from what I'm understanding, that Trump doesn't like to get bogged down in details. He will not read anything over 9 bullet points and nothing over 2 pages.
Jeez.
So, I mean, it's really some scary stuff because he has no idea what's going on in the world. It really feels like he wants the idea of being president and likes the power of being president, but the actual details and how hard it really is, I think he's not up for it.
Yeah, that's nothing new, though. I was saying that all during the campaign, that especially after the offer he made to John Kasich of, you know, you can be the most powerful vice president in history, because he just wanted to do the, you know, the pomp and circumstance and shake hands and smile and cause trouble.
He wants to be the head of state. He doesn't want to be the commander-in-chief. And that's the scary problem that we have right now, is we, you know, the head of our military, the everything else. I mean, he doesn't know what's going on. He talks tough, but I don't know what's going to happen when we get slammed, and it's going to happen.
And that's a scary thing. Maybe if we put it in cartoon form, do you think he would read it then?
Some Tom and Jerry?
Yeah, something. I mean, I don't know. Because, you know, my problem was, and I used to say this during the Bush years, because he wouldn't read things over 2 pages long. You know, maybe you put on a skit, you know, maybe, you know, since Trump watches a lot of TV, maybe feed it to CNN, since he seems to spend most of his time ranting and raving about CNN.
Saturday Night Live.
I mean,
well, there's that veterans group
this
weekend.
This isn't funny, man. This is stuff that just, this is where we are.
Yeah, I mean, this weekend a veterans group has been trying to get to Trump or whatever, and they ran an ad during SNL because they thought that's the only way we can get to him. I mean, it's not funny, but it's gallows humor. You have to almost laugh at how ridiculous this is. But, you know, what we're looking at right now, the way that the world's shifting, the geopolitical maneuvering that Russia's doing, China, Iran, North Korea, everybody's rattling right now. Everybody's on the move. The media is covering every tantrum. Nobody's covering what's really happening. Last night was a great victory for the people of the resistance who, you know, have been fighting. It was a good victory for the media because they finally stood up. But we have one person down. We have like 47 to go. And honestly, we have to do it quick because what's building up in the intelligence side of it and the world side of it is, you know, some pretty dark stuff.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, while we're laughing and, you know, saying, you know, talking about cartoons and bullet points, the reality is there are people who, and they're going to be my kids and your kids who are going to be the ones who pay the ultimate price for this, not his kids.
Oh, yeah, his kids won't go. And that's the thing that really frustrates you, you know, is you know that the Republicans who refuse to investigate, Donald Trump and, you know, everybody up there, like, their kids aren't going to be going into the war. It's going to be the working class guys in Pennsylvania, in Florida. My kids, your kids, And that's the part where it makes me want to fight harder every single day to get him out of there.
So last question I've got for you. What do we do? What do we do from this point? I mean, this is obviously a step in the right direction. Get this guy out who I didn't think was qualified to be in that position at that level. What do you think of this other guy, this Kellogg?
Well, I don't know enough about Kellogg to make an educated opinion on, you know, how he would run things. But right. I will say that the Democrats and the people of the resistance and everything, there's blood in the water now. The top administration official has resigned over ties to Russia. There's enough there to hire a special investigator. There's enough there to, you know, start really reining in what happened. This is a chance for the Republican Party to save themselves, but it's also a chance for the Democrats to leverage this. And they have to, not for politics, because the politics is over. We don't care about politics right now. 99% of the people we're fighting just want their rights back. So what we need to do is just keep pressuring the administration and keep trying to dig what happened out of the whole mess of this. And one by one, the pieces will fall. And the question everybody needs to be asking is, what did the president know and when did he know it?
Good point. David, I appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Always. Thank you, Rick.
Our good friend David Yankovic. If you want to check out his site, we've got a link at thericksmithshow.com, davidyankovic.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Dirty deeds and the dunder cheap. Dirty deeds and the dunder.